Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. So glad that you would join us today. We know that definitely that the Lord has a word for you this evening. Before we even get started, though, let's get into a few things as far as our announcements, and then we'll go into prayer. And then we'll move on into the word that God has given us. Amen. In the way of announcements, we want to remind everyone that this weekend for Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, we'll be doing the Women of Prophetic Destiny broadcast, fellowship for the third weekend. And none other than Prophetess Crystal McQueen will be hosting that fellowship. It will start at 7:00 of November 14th through the 16th, and then November 21st, we will be starting our Friday night jam. So our Saturday service will be going to Friday night for Friday night jam, and that stands for Jesus and Me Ministry. We're looking forward to a high time in the Lord. We want you to come out and join us and be a part of that, hear what God is saying, and see what the Lord is doing in our midst. And then the next that we'll have from there will be January 29th through February 1st, which will be the Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference. And we want to prepare your hearts and your minds for that. With all of these, though, you can come to 956 North Cocoa Boulevard at Suite 1121. There you'll find more about us. You'll be able to fellowship with us and see what God is saying and what God is doing in our midst. We want to just let you know that this is a place where you can come, fellowship, come, let your hair down, if you will, kick off your shoes, allow the Lord to have His way. We are here for you. We'll be here with you. Amen. And for the rest of our announcements and everything, I'll turn it over to Prophetess Crystal, who finally made it in.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Just also letting you know, please go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Amen. That's www.ctkr.org. There you can go to our media tab, amen, and find out more about us. Also, you can see us and locate us live. You can watch all of our shows live, amen, at the website that we're on, amen, as well as go into our archives, amen, and be able to hear what thus saith the Lord and unto you. We do ask that you would become a vision partner with this ministry, please helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. We are already thanking each and every one of you that are already have been supporting us, amen, with this ministry and helping us to continuously push the vision that God has given us. We thank you and we send continuous blessings your way. Amen. Also want you to be aware that we are have a Facebook page, so please go to our Facebook page as well. Like us there, even hit us up on the Twitter, connect with us there, see what we're doing, amen, our little events that are coming up. And we just want to thank everyone who has joined us even live now. So I'm even asking that you would just get your pencils, amen, your pens or your iPads, amen, whatever it is that you use, and be prepared as our Apostle Christopher McQueen, amen, comes forth and delivers the word on this evening. Now, those are the announcements, amen, those are the events that are coming up, amen, and now let us pray and then prepare ourselves to hear the word of the Lord, amen. Please bow your head with me. Father, we bless you and we praise your name. We glorify you for all that you have done. God, we just give your name all the praise, all the glory, and the honor. There is no one else like you. There's no other name above your name. You are the Holy One of Israel. We, your people, come before you thanking you and praising you and glorifying you because of who you are. Now, Father, as we come to deliver the message on tonight, we invite the presence of the Holy Spirit in this house, in the mighty name of Jesus. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Minister through the man of God on this evening as he delivers the word. Father, we just ask that you would increase his knowledge, increase his wisdom and more as he begins to pour forth out of his spirit, amen, unto us what you have to say to us, your people. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Even now, God, we ask that you would just begin to move on behalf of your people, God, those that are listening under the sound of my voice, God, those who have special needs. Father, we just ask that you begin to move mightily on behalf of your people. Father, you know the very needs that your people have before you. God, some have been waiting for a long time to hear an answer. And God, I'm praying and asking that you would give them strength right now, spiritual strength, so that they can continue, God, to hold on as they're waiting for the manifestation of your glory, as they're waiting for the manifestation of your power. God, even now, those that are sick, we speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would begin to move mightily, God. Father, let them have a praise on their lips, God, as they continue to trust in you and believe in you and believe that the word that they stand on shall come to pass. We glorify your name in this house. Now, God, we will fail not to give your name the glory and the honor. Father, we thank you for the favor that you have bestowed upon this ministry. God, we thank you that we are no longer hidden underneath a basket, God, but that you are lifting up the cloak, God, and allowing, amen, the people to see where we are. God, we thank you for the resources that you're bringing into this house. God, we thank you for the people and the finances that you're bringing into this house, helping us to push forth the kingdom agenda. Now, God, we just magnify once again and glorify you. There's no other name higher than your name. We praise and we honor you for all that you have done. God, we just give your name all the praise. We thank you for your magnificent favor. We thank you for your marvelous acts and your mighty works. Now, God, as we begin to come into this house, we open up our hearts. God, we open up our minds to receive your word on tonight. Father, even now I'm asking that we will not be hearers of the word only, but that we shall be doers, that the spirit of obedience would take place. God, would move in our lives and in our hearts, that we have a yes down in our spirit once again. Now we thank you, oh God, we glorify you and we praise you for all that you are doing and have done in our lives. We ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now receive, amen, people of God, none other than the angel of this house, Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Amen. We're so grateful to all that God is doing and that all God has done. We're thankful that Prophet has finally made it in this evening. She was taking care of some other things, and well, you know, was happy she's here now. Amen. Now, let's look at these announcements and look at this word. We're going into 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. And I want you to know that there are several things that we are doing here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, getting things in line and in order. Amen. And that means that we have to work to pull these things together. Amen. And some of those are, as we look at this weekend, the Woman of Prophetic Destiny Fellowship is not a woman's fellowship. It is a prophetic apostolic meeting, amen. And that means that those who are part of the body are invited, amen. And when I say apostolic, I don't mean the religion or the denomination. I'm talking about a kingdom status, amen, which simply says that those who are of the household of faith, amen, even as they followed the Apostles' Creed and stayed with them, those are those who we're speaking to. Too often when we say apostle, people think that we're talking about being apostolic in the sense of the denomination or the religion, and not necessarily the office of the apostle, amen? So we don't want to confuse that. We want to make sure that everyone understands what we're saying and why we're saying it, amen? And then the other thing that we want to do is we really want to get into this word and understand it in its fullness, amen? Friday Night Jam will give us the opportunity to shift the atmosphere and then come back afterwards and really begin to deal with some of the other things that are going on, amen, within the body of Christ. So this is your opportunity, your time, your, if you will, your invitation, if you will, to come in and let the Lord do what he's going to do. We shift the atmosphere, and then after we shift the atmosphere, then we begin to look at what else the Lord wants from us. And whatever he wants is what we want to give. Amen. So we're looking at this morning or this evening, and we're trying to get into this word based on what God is showing us and what God is saying to us. Amen. Now, let's look at this here. We left off with 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we have gone down to the 28th verse. Amen. Simply says here that God has appointed these in the church. First the apostle, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration. Amen. I want you to know that we have to get back to the foundation, and it is important for us to understand that this foundation that I am speaking of is the foundation that God himself set. Amen. We can talk about several things. We can look at several things. But after all is said and done, after all of your positioning, your posturing, after all of your arguments and your points that you have made, we still got to get back to this word. And if anything is right, the word of God is correct. Amen. So we never have to worry about your opinion or what you thought. All we have to do is get in line with the word of God. And getting in line with the word of God means that we sometimes have to take a step back. The reason why we take a step back is because when we leave assignments, we leave gaps. Things that are supposed to be done by specific people are left undone. Amen. Timing is everything. You don't value time, then you don't value your position, because your position was given to you so that in the fullness of time, you can be positioned in place to do what you need to do. Amen. God gave you that gift. God gave us those gifts. God gave us those graces and those anointings. Your favor is tied to your assignment. Amen. Now, when we begin to look at this, then everything that I have, everything that I'm doing, everything that I need to do is tied into this simple fact. God blessed me at a certain time, anointed me at a certain time, allowed me to be born with that blessing and that anointing at a certain time so that I can bless a certain group of people. I like how our mother used to say it. She said that there's people on your street that you got to get to. Nobody else will have voice in their ears. God has given that specifically to you, amen? And if you do not take time, amen, and work on yourself, when you get down the street where those people are, where those souls are, you won't have anything to say. You won't have validity in your testimony. Hello? If you wait too long, you will be out of place and out of time. Amen? So it is, when we begin to look at this and we begin to look at the foundation, we have to see that this foundation was not set by man. This foundation was set by God. Amen? And it is this foundation that we have to then get into and begin to look at, because God didn't make a mistake here. No. See, the word lets us know that he set some things in place. Amen? He set some people in place. There are certain things that are going on. Amen? That God has done, God has established. And we have to see it. We have to understand it. And then we have to move in alignment with it. Let's look at this. Go back up a verse. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So he didn't call you into a position so that he could make you just part of something without identity. He bought you into this so that you could have an identity. When it says you are the body of Christ, your identity is tied to the body. I said it on Sunday. We got to get back to looking like the church. We look like any and everything but the church. And understand this. The church is not your nails or the clothes you wear. It's not your hairstyle. It's none of that stuff. That's not the church. When we get on the outward appearance, we forget that the church is the inward appearance thing. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So before you can do anything, you have to first of all look like him. And he's checking to see if you actually carry his DNA. I know we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, but guess what? The blood washed you from all of that. And after it washed you, it positioned you now, so that you could be a child of God. Listen to this. As many as are led by the Spirit, they have been given the power to be the sons of God. So you have to understand that your identity is tied into who God called you to be. I'm a child of God. Not only that, I am a man of God. Not only that, I am the part of the beloved. Amen? God loved me so much. He cared about me so much that before time began, he established who I was, a position for me in time, a gender for me during my time here, a purpose for my existence. He put a plan in place, and then he set me at the starting point of it. Everything in my life then was designed and set up so that I could fulfill what he has already established for me. Nothing in my life should be then a surprise. Everything should either be part of his plan or part of the enemy's plan against that plan. But in all of that, I should still be rely upon him. Most of us get in trouble because we're trying to create and recreate ourselves. And every time you try to create and recreate yourself, you set yourself up for, I don't want to say the okey-doke, but guess what? You set yourself up for a problem, a failure. Amen? The enemy of your soul wants you to see it a certain way. Now you are the body of Christ. You see that? And members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles. Second prophets. See, when we walk away from all of this, we've been listening to these people talk about the body of Christ, and if you a child of God, then you shouldn't be going through this, and you shouldn't be going through that, and this shouldn't be happening, and that shouldn't be happening, and that shouldn't be going on, and you should never go through. And if you're going through tough times now, a hard time, then you're not demonstrating the power of God. You're messing it up. You ain't doing what you need to do. Stop. Hold it. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm going through because it is part of my making, part of my development. I'm being conformed to the image of his dear son. While I'm going through, he's shaving off some things. He's filing some things off. He's sanding some things off. He's cutting some things. Amen. See, when he makes us into the body, or when we become part of the body, he uses the apostle and the prophets and teachers in order to help get it in order. Let's turn over here right quick to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. The gifts that he gave to men is you and I. When we walk according to the call that God has given us, and we say amen to it, and then we walk according to his precepts, we are the gift of God in the earth. Amen? So if the earth is going to know God, if the earth is going to see him, if the earth is going to benefit from the relationship of him and all that he's done, it's going to have to happen through those of us who he delegated the authority. Look, it got to a point where he said, all power is given to me in the heaven and in earth and under the earth. And then he delegated to us the use of his name in the name of Jesus. See, now, when we begin to see this, then there are some certain things that are happening that will have to be done by the gift that he gave to men. I am a gift. Amen? You have to understand that you are a gift. Let's read on. Let's go down to 11 first. It says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. That means that there are five different gifts that he's given that the Apostle Paul right here is identifying. Five gifts, five graces that he has given. Amen. To each one of us was give grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then he names the gifts. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Look at this, for the equipping of the saints. For the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It sounds like we got a lot to be doing other than trying to walk around and tell who's not doing what and see who's bigger than who. We got a lot to be worried about. We're supposed to be doing our work for the body. You see that? That we should no longer be children. And a lot of times we find out that the maturity or the immaturity is within those who are called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why is that? Because insecurity in who you are will cause you to challenge and walk on other people's callings and graces, thinking that you are the best that there ever was. You become arrogant, and then you begin to talk about everybody else's gift. Notice I would never talk about your gift, but I'll judge the fruit of it. Tell me you're an apostle and you don't have that spiritual fathership in you. You don't have that apostolic authority operating through you. You don't understand how to establish and reestablish and tear up and reset. You're not an apostle. I'm sorry. You don't have a call and a drive to develop and to mentor and to mature the body of Christ. I don't know. The fruit's not there. Huh? He sent them out two by two. And when they went out two by two, they came back with a testimony of what happened, amen, when they went out and used his name. Even the demons were subject. Huh? That means that there should be some miracles, some signs, and some wonders that follow you when you have a calling on your life. Tell me that you are a prophet and you can't see your way with a magnifying glass. We can't get a Hubble space telescope or anything else. We can't airdrop to you. We can't send you a text. We can't tweet. We can't send you an inbox message or anything else from the Spirit to tell you something, because you can't see anything, but you want to be a prophet. You're not ready for the prophet. No. Evangelist, you don't want to go out and talk to nobody, but you an evangelist. Evangelists go out to the highways and the byways, huh? They go out and compel them to come in. They go get you in your stinky place and love you past your outward appearance. You may smell like a wino or a crackhead. You may look like a meth addict or whatever, but when an evangelist come in, you put the crack down. You put the bottle down. You put the needle down. When an evangelist comes through, you will let that stuff go, because they have a grace on their life to pull you out of that mess and into the body of Christ. Tell me you're a pastor and you can't stand nobody. How you going to cover and shepherd God's sheep and you don't like none of them? How you going to be a teacher and you won't pick up a book? You won't get in this book. I know. That's just, it's just... Some people be getting on my nerves, and you must be getting on God's nerves too. He didn't call you to your personal feelings. He called you to your assignment. So when you are not accepting your assignment, you got to do something in that position. And most of the time, it has nothing to do with kingdom development. So then we end up having problems, because when you should be standing here and doing the right thing, we find that you are locked up in your own personal kingdom issues. You can't deal with God's issues or God's kingdom assignment because you're so focused on what your assignment is for yourself. Well. Look at this. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, listen to this, by what every joint supplieth, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So then that means that my job then is to really grow up and do my share and help with the growth of the body. Notice, we're not talking about your stuff. We're not talking about your personal agenda. We're not talking about growing your kingdom. We're not talking about your legacy. We're talking about the body of Christ. So I understand then why at this verse here in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul would begin to talk about the foundation of the church. You notice that there were five different gifts that he talked about to Ephesus. But here at Corinth, he identifies of the foundation of two and then adds on that a third and then goes into function, which are gifts as well. Okay, look at this. He says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, variety of tongues. And I like the fact that in the 29th verse he asked the question, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? And let me say something here, because when we begin to look at this, people will try to identify your office based on your gifting. But your gifting is specific to your assignment. Okay? See, it would be crazy for me to be a place where in a place where miracles are needed, but all I'm doing is healing. That's my thing. I'm doing some healing. Well, I don't need it. Healing. We're feeling fine. We do need a miracle here, though. Okay, well, if I'm to be a benefit to the body of Christ, should not be able to perform the miracle that is needed. Oh, I got the gift of reading. What is the gift of reading? That means reading is fundamental. You went to school and learned your phonics. Is that what that means? No, it means that I have the ability to read the Bible in such a way that it causes demons to run. Brother, sister, that's not a gift. The devil's running at the hearing of that word because it incriminates him, reminds him that he is fallen and defeated. The word of God is a word that is alive. The devil should tremble at the word. Look what Jesus used when he combated him. It was the word. You don't have the gift of reading. You just read something. You just had to, you learn how to rise and fall in your reading. So when you begin to be, though I may speak with the tongues of men, and of angels, that is not a gift. I study Shakespeare, I should be able to read this with some feeling and moving. That's not a gift. I have the gift to play the tambourine. You don't have the gift to play the tambourine. That's not a gift. That is a talent. Listen, let me say something. We got to get out of calling everything a demon, and we got to get out of calling everything a gift. Huh? Everybody got a gift, and everybody got, if you don't like how it was or how it happened, so you calling everything what you think it is. The devil is a liar. Huh? I don't know. You know, when I came up, we wasn't doing all of that. Okay, that was you then. This is us now, okay? If you still using yesterday's technology to deal with the gospel today, then you are not effective or efficient in the gospel. Amen? Let me show you how this works. Back in the day, we knew that if we put two cans together and tied them together for string and stretched that string, if I talked on this end, you could hear vibrations at that end. And that's how we actually used that, so that we could hear each other. Pull it taut and make sure you talk through it loudly so it vibrates through the string real good. We call it can phone, you know, tin can phone. You think that by now we actually have a way to minister or communicate? that is greater than 10 cans and strings? Do you think that it's wrong for us to use a microphone? Or do you think that we need to actually use some other means to project our voice? See, what we used to do and what we need to do are two different things. Amen, somebody. How we used to do it and how we need to do it, two different things. See, we walked according to the knowledge that we had at the time. And now we have newer, more advanced knowledge at this time. So the gospel that we preach today is the same gospel. But listen to this. It's disseminated a different way. Okay. So then that means that we'll take time and we'll use the internet. We'll use internet radio. We'll use other kind of streaming applications. We will take time and get the best cameras and microphones and other capture systems and pull all of that together so that when we preach the gospel, we can send it out to the world. The world can hear. The world can benefit from it. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? I wish I could take that one around with it right now. Because there's some people who believe that you ain't speaking tongue, you ain't spoken tongue, you ain't saved yet. But this ask the question, do all speak with tongues? The answer obviously is no to this, if the answer is no to all the others he's asking. Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Listen, let's go back up. If we were to go up to the 12th verse, no, if we were to go all the way back, to the very beginning of this chapter, we'll see that there's some things that he's dealing with. We end up with the foundation of the apostle and the prophet and going into charity or love, if you will. But when we begin here at the first verse, not concerning spiritual gift, brother, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you Gentiles were carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just say something here. Looking at, turn on my computer, went to the web, and everyone knows that you come up on a homepage. My homepage happens to be Yahoo. I don't like Google. That's my preference. I don't Chrome and all the rest of that so invasive into your personal information that just using it so you can say that you Google is you know, throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Doesn't make sense. And I know all of them have certain things that they do. We've been with Yahoo for a while with our website and our web stuff that we do. Amen. So that's where we have been. So my web page, my home page, when I open it up, is Yahoo. One thing I saw as soon as I opened up Yahoo was I saw that they had begun to talk about a book, talking about the lost gospel, wherein they say that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene and that he had two kids. There's people running around right now trying to prove that Jesus had children and that he was married. My question right now that I ask is, why now? See, very convenient, if you will, that at this point in time, we're dealing with the question in this country of same-sex marriages. I'm not going into a political tirade or anything else. You can relax. I'm not going to tell you if I'm Republican or Democrat or independent. Doesn't make a difference, because then you'll think that the gospel is shaded one way based on party affiliation and rhetoric. And I don't have time for all of that. I vote platform and not necessarily party. Amen. And that should say enough right there. Anyhow, looking at this, they are always looking for ways to tear down the foundation of the Christian faith. And you got to ask yourself something. Why are they always attacking the foundation? See, the thing is if I'm going to topple the structure, I have to make sure it has no support. And in order to make sure it has no support, I have to collapse or take out the foundation that it rests upon. So here, you got people who are walking around saying that they are Christians, but they're the ones writing the Gnostic text, or going to them trying to prove something, and when you go back, you'll find out that they live alternative lifestyles, and they're looking for validity within the Word of God. Even people writing and saying that the Bible says nothing about the lifestyle, just so they can validate the fact that they are Christian. I started this at the very beginning and said it, and I'll say it again. We have to get back to true holiness. This is a true sign that we have accepted everything and haven't preached against anything. We haven't done anything to set up, if you will, in the body of Christ, a standard that those who are coming into Christianity could follow. There's nothing there that lets them know that this is how saints act. This is how we look. This is what we do. And though we don't take on a name just to have a name, we actually walk according to these things. Paul said here, I would not have you to be ignorant. You were carried away with idols, led as you were. Some people came out of the world looking for Christ and found idols, not knowing what Christianity was. They were trained after that lifestyle. Rewarded by the saying, they felt that this must be it. After all, there's rewards coming with it. If it doesn't challenge you to change, if it doesn't point you to the cross, if it doesn't solidify and validate your position as a kingdom citizen, I don't care what label or tag they put on it, it is not Christianity. He begins to tell us then here that there are certain things that we have to do. No one speaking, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Goes on to say that there are diversity of gifts but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries but the same Lord. There are diversity of activity, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So what we're really talking about here is that God never blessed you just to be blessed. I know you keep running from revival to revival and meeting to meeting and conference, trying to get a blessing because you're trying to take yourself and go somewhere. I'm on my way to my destiny. I'm on my, everybody says, it's like saying, you know, ooh, I got to live each minute I got to live minute by minute. Okay, well, everybody got to do that because that's how time works. You know, a minute to me is a minute to you. 60 seconds is what I got to live. You got to live the same 60. What you do with that minute is what makes a difference. So while you're sitting there and you're trying to validate you, remember, none of this is really about just you. God blesses you so he can bless others through you. God makes you into the vessel that he can use so that he can use you to pour out blessings on others. Oh, I'm just trying to get me and my. That's not Christianity. I'm just trying to do me. That's not Christianity. You see? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We're all part of this body. We all have different functions. We all have different responsibilities. We all have different assignments. And brothers, the last thing you want to do, sisters, the last thing that you want to do is be a person with a call, assignment, and out of place. Today is Veterans Day. And in order for you to be a veteran, the first thing you have to have been is in war. Thank you for joining the military. Thank you for your time and your service. Thank you for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. Some people came back with their lives, but they came back scarred for life. Yeah, they got all their the members. They got all the you can't look at them and tell that they went through trauma. But if you sit down and talk to them just a little bit, you'll hear what's actually on the inside. We talk about post-traumatic stress disorders. We talk about all kind of other things that are going on. People who go through hardships and stressful situations that are traumatized, they come back, and even though they smile at you, on the other side of that smile is some other stuff. Think about a veteran, like I said, they have to have gone through a war. There has to be something that they did during wartime that qualified. The same thing here in this body of Christ. We have gone through some things. We have fought battles. We have fought some wars, been in some skirmishes, been ambushed by the enemy, been turned on by friends and loved ones. Yet still, here we are. The thing is that you have to understand that God has done so much for us. He set these things in the body, these gifts, these offices, so that we can all benefit from them. Every once in a while, you need to seek and check yourself. One of the things that I notice is that people who have gone through will stop every once in a while and check themselves to see if they get hit. You just come through a barrage of enemy fire. You're like, whew, your adrenaline is still up. Why it's up? Let's check and make sure that none of that hit you. Going through battles, going through hardships. You know, the thing is that as veterans in the body of Christ, in the army of God, we have to understand that when we refuse to accept the infusion and the care that comes from the blood of Jesus, its properties, then we walk around in the body of Christ with spiritual post-traumatic stress disorders. We know when you have it. So as we begin to talk to you about your past, you become defensive. Every once in a while, you just go the heck off. Come back after you and did some crazy stuff. In your mind, you don't know why you did it. But it's because you're dealing with some battle fatigue, some battle issues. Well, God set these gifts in the body because we are to identify those things. And then we're to help you to overcome those things. Amen? The other side of this is, after you have overcome, then your job is to go back and help someone else. One body, many members. Profitable to all. God begins to deal with us. God begins to call us in. And he begins to treat us as his children. Amen. So now, let's look at this. Let's finish this up here. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So when we begin to look at all of this, I read it before. Every gift in the body is so that we can profit with all of us. We're here for the profit of everyone. God didn't give me gifts that I could just sit back and talk about. Look at what I got. The gift that I have, he gave to me so that I could use that gift in the body to be a blessing to somebody else. I said it before, if the world would know Christ, then they'll know Christ because they'll see Christ in us. Too often, the world won't see Christ in us because we're busy trying to hide that Christ. Why did God call apostles? Why did he call prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers? Just so we can have following rank in the body? Not necessarily, but because there is a job to do, work that has to be done, and we have to see that God wants these things accomplished. Never let it be said at all, at any time, that God called you and you did not answer. Never let it be said that God spoke to you and you did not tell anyone else what God said. Because every time that God speaks, every time that God blesses, that blessing and that speaking is for someone else. And God is trying to get us past ourselves so that he can get the glory out of all of our lives. You think that this is just about you, you're missing it. This isn't about you. This is about the body. As an apostle, my job is to be a spiritual father. I mean, sometimes I need to reaffirm or affirm you. Sometimes I need to chastise you. Sometimes I need to step back and watch you walk a little bit and help correct your steps. Sometimes I need to stand back here and just celebrate the fact that you're walking a whole lot better than you have. Whatever it is, that's who I am. I am a pastor. I'm a pastor of pastors. And I know what God called me to. I know how God called me. God called me in this time. God called me in this season to do a work. The foundation of the body of Christ, that the church, if you will, he chose to use the apostle and the prophet as foundation. We're here to help establish a foundation that the church can move on, stand on, live on, do what God called. And whatever it takes, we're going to do the job. We're up to the task. Amen. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and the pardon of your sins. I pray that you pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, I pray for them that if they prayed that prayer with me, that they would be led to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching ministry, that they can go on to do the work that you've called them to do. I pray right now, Lord, for those who are sick in their body. Lord, you are a healer. I pray for healing now in the name of Jesus. Release your ministering angels to minister to them in the name of Jesus. I pray right now for those who need miracles, signs, and wonders to manifest in their lives. I pray, Lord, that right now that you will move on their behalf. We speak it now in the name of Jesus. We decree and we declare greatness to manifest in the body of Christ. The world is looking and needing to see and hear of greatness. We pray right now for those families, even now, the family of Dr. Miles Monroe in their loss, and those that were lost with them, we pray for them now. Lord, we know that the time is winding up. You're calling the generals home. Help us, Lord, who are left to step up and do what needs to be done, that the body is not left deficient or left deficit, but that we do those things that we've been taught to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with this Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen, along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries want to just remind you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We'll see you on Thursday night.